Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Today, our nation's ability to sustain a growing economy and a rising standard of living depends in part on continued advances in science and technology. With one of the richest and most diverse missions in the federal government, the U.S. Department of Energy also represents the single largest supporter of research in the physical sciences, seeking to enhance America's leadership in science and technology in the 21st century. In recognizing it cannot do this alone, Energy follows a solid acquisition and procurement strategy to meet its varied and complex missions. With us this morning to discuss DOE's acquisition strategy is our special guest, Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Albert. Thank you for having me this morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Practice. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Al.
Frank, let's start off by learning a bit more about the department. Many of our listeners are generally familiar with the U.S. Department of Energy, but could you give us a sense of the history and mission of the department?
Sure. Our history can, of course, be traced back to the Manhattan Project and the race to develop an atomic weapon during World War II. And over time, as energy needs changed and we went through a number of energy crises, it was realized that the numerous energy programs and agencies should be merged into a single agency, which created the Department of Energy, which was established in 1977. Combining of all these programs and agencies into one department not only enabled a better focus, but also allowed the department to operate in a more dynamic manner, shift its emphasis and focus on the needs of the nation as the nation changed. And over time, our energy needs have changed dramatically. Just a short note about our mission, some of our priorities, DOE's mission. First of all, scientific and technological innovation, driving U.S. competitiveness and maintaining scientific facilities. Another point to mention, nuclear security. This is the National Nuclear Security Administration, and they deal with nonproliferation, nuclear deterrence, and threat prevention. Another facet of our mission is energy security, developing nuclear power and solar and biomass development, clean coal, hydrogen, and of course, last but not least, environmental stewardship, environmental cleanup, and managing the legacy post-closure responsibilities. So that's basically for, in a nutshell, our mission.
So with such a broad mission, Frank, can you give us a sense of the scale of operations over at DOE, you know, how you're organized, size of the overall budget, perhaps, you know, rough numbers in terms of full-time employees and contractors?
Well, DOE is principally a national security agency, and all of its missions flow from the core mission to support national security. These various missions are managed by program offices such as the Office of Environmental Management, the Office of Science, the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. And after more than 30 years in existence, the department now operates 24 research labs and facilities and 4 power marketing administration and manages the environmental cleanup from approximately 50 years of nuclear defense activities. And this impacts roughly 2 million acres in communities across the country. And of course, I'm part of this, the DOE staff and support offices, which provide administrative management and oversight, support to the DOE's program offices, and assist them in successful accomplishment of their respective missions. We have a budget of approximately $24 billion with about 116,000 employees. Now, of that 116,000, roughly 16,000 are staff employees, 100,000 are contractors. And geographically, of course, we're a highly decentralized organization with operations throughout the country.
Frank, with that overview of the broader department, could you tell us more about your area and role within the department? What are your specific responsibilities and duties as a chief acquisition officer? And could you tell us about the areas under your purview, how you're organized, the size of your staff, and your budget?
Well, I was created, in a sense, by the Services Acquisition Reform Act of 2004, where chief acquisition officers were created. And some of my duties, in a more general sense, are monitoring and evaluating performance of all acquisition activities and programs, increasing the use of full and open competition, increasing the appropriate use of performance-based acquisitions, and managing the direction of acquisition policy. Basically, I am the top acquisition policy official in the department. Some of the things that I've spent a considerable amount of time on are things like understanding and working on our removal from the GAO high-risk series, helping facilitate the relationship between contract management and project management, working with the department's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization in facilitating opportunities for small businesses, reengineering the processes, the business processes in acquisition, and of course, working acquisition workforce issues. I've seen my role over the past roughly 20 months largely as a catalyst for change. And what I will say with virtually all these issues, if it wasn't for the support of the department's two top-notch professional senior procurement executives, Zed Simpson, and in the NNSA, it's David Boyd, if it wasn't for their support, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. You know, when I need resources or I need to look at something closer or need something explained to me, these two professionals take care of my every need.
Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how have you addressed these challenges?
Some of the top challenges that I'm looking at now and while I've been there, first of all, of course, the acquisition workforce. Thinking about, you know, retention, recruitment, recognition, being able to train people up, get them certified, determining what we have and what we need. You know, we only talk about numbers. We need more people, more people. What we really have to do is determine what we have, especially when we're a highly decentralized organization, and see what we have in the field in terms of competencies and what kind of skill gaps we have in the field and at headquarters. The second item that I've been working on specifically is the GAO High Risk Series and our approximately 15-year existence on that particular list. For those who aren't familiar with the series, it identifies programs or projects that are high risk due to vulnerability to fraud, waste, abuse, and mismanagement. Specifically, we've been cited as quote-unquote inadequate management and oversight of contractors and failure to hold contractors accountable. So, you know, when I came to the department, I looked at what we had and what the department had been doing in respect to measuring performance. And I really became a little frustrated because I believed then, and I still believe now, that we've really come a long way over time. We have a relatively robust balanced scorecard program, which includes, you know, contract initiatives and appropriate measures and business process reengineering that we've been doing. And we've been making a lot of progress. So I really had to kind of step back and take a look at it and see how an external person might look at what we had there. So the first thing I did was I opened up a dialogue with OMB and the Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and the General Accountability Office. I was excited about the prospects, and it's always been my contention that too much policy is written without involving the stakeholders. So I got an opportunity to do this. Yeah, I've enjoyed engaging the external stakeholders, and I enjoy a good working relationship with several fine and knowledgeable people from these organizations. I've also had the assistance of some of the best and brightest program and contracts people in the department to assist me. We're still making significant progress. I really believe that we're looking at probably 2011 where we can actually be removed from that list. And last but not least, I want to mention my small business advocacy role and outreach and reporting with small business. Of course, the biggest part of my job involves acquisition-specific issues, but one of the most enjoyable parts of my job is working with small business. I have a small business in my family, and I know how very hard they work. And incidentally, the small business in my family, that they don't hold any government contracts or DOE. I just want you to know that beforehand. But a couple of things I do with small business, and I do outreach, you know, helping small businesses connect with customers through the business opportunity sessions we have, the small business conference, which we hold each year, and just making individual contacts with the program. By the way, we have a small business conference coming up this year in San Antonio, June 23rd through the 26th, and just in case anybody is interested in that. The other thing we do is reporting and accountability in terms of small business, and we evaluate each program's performance on, you know, with quarterly reviews, and everybody is held accountable in terms of how they meet their program goals, whether they meet them or not. The third part of this whole thing is education. We have to educate small business on the structure and the strategic direction of the department and the contracting model, of course, and we have to basically educate Congress on everything also because, you know, we've got to keep, like I say, all stakeholders in the loop.
So, you know, I understand that prior to this role at DOE, you had spent some time over at the CIA and DOD. Could you just briefly describe your career path for our listeners? How'd you get started?
I graduated a long time ago with an undergraduate degree in accounting, and I worked for 5 years in the private sector, and I just realized that I didn't really want to work in the private sector. I really wanted to focus my professional life toward public service. And, you know, I always had a desire to serve the publics. And I even ran for public office back in 1980, which seems like ages ago. So I didn't win. But I decided to enlist in the Marine Corps. And I was like, you know, the grand old man of the Marine Corps at the time. I was 27 years old. This was kind of a turning point for me and started my public service life in a sense. After that, I just applied to a handful of federal entities and was fortunate to wind up at the CIA for about the next 16 years, serving in mostly administrative positions. Of course, the other positions I can't talk too much about, but... I served about 16 years. It was a great place to work. I acquired a real strong foundation in contracting, learned from individuals who really knew everything there was to know about contracting, and did some work in other areas to gain a better perspective as to how everything fit together. After 16 years or so, I just wanted to do something a little different mission, different focus. I had a good friend who served in the first 4 years of the Bush administration, had a great experience. I had another friend who worked at DOE, and I had heard they were looking for a high-level acquisition type to fill a political position. So I kind of got the White House personnel and the DOE liaison together, worked that over a couple, you know, months, a little while, and it's funny how things come together. It finally did come together. Well, you know, I'm exploring a handful of options out there, and I've thought about private sector, but in all likelihood, in some capacity or another, I'll probably continue to serve the public. For the immediate future, it'll probably be as a career civil servant. But what I really want to do in the mid to long term is go back to New York, my home state, and serve the public as an elected official in some capacity. I'm not sure whether it'll be local, state, federal, but I would like to go back and have another run at office. I always said back when I did run for office in 80 that I would be back, but I didn't know it would be 30 years from then.
We only have about a minute left, Frank, but I want to ask you. So as you look across, you know, that just, you know, wonderful career, are there one or two experiences from that period that perhaps are informing your current leadership style and management approach?
You know, with all the training and all that I've had, okay, that's all well and good. But one thing I do want to emphasize here is one of the biggest things I've learned over my career is it's not what or how much you know that's always important. It's taken a while to learn this, but like I say, it's probably cliche, but, you know, life is all about relationships and how you relate to those around you. You know, degrees, the big programs, the organizations, the positions you've held, I mean, that's all fine and good. Good resume, good calling card. But once you get into an organization, you have to produce. And your production will soar if you develop the business relationships you need to develop with your subordinates, your peers, and your superiors. And I think the position I currently sit in has really driven this point home for me.
That's a great lesson. What about energy's acquisition strategy? We will ask Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.